Morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, commonly known as the Acts, or historically known as the Acts of the Apostles. So Acts chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 23, and we're going to read all the way to 23, or 31. Please pray with me before we go to God's Word. Oh God, we come before you, and we ask that you would help us to hear your Word, to apply your Word, that you may be glorified in all that we hear, that we may live out your Word. Encourage us, motivate us, inspire us through the work of the Spirit, and the work of your word, convicting and molding us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're able to stand this morning, please stand with me as we read God's word. Acts chapter 4, 23. We'll go all the way to 31. This is the word of the Lord. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the nations rage or the Gentiles rage? And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. My main idea is that prayer gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. If you are wondering what I'm talking about today, is this. Prayer gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. And how did I come about to that point? Well, if you noticed already in verses 23 to 24a, if you're taking notes, this is my first point. I believe Luke is saying that our trials lead us to prayer. This is what we're seeing in this first section. We also see in verses 24b to 30 that our prayers are to a sovereign God. And then lastly, in verses 31, we can see clearly that we receive boldness from a sovereign God. And we're going to unpack these three points to bring about that main idea that prayer gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. So on our first point in verses 23 and 24, our trials lead us to prayer. We see this in the text. We see when Peter and John were released, we have to look at what happened before in the context. When we examine what happened or what is at hand here, we need to know the context, what just happened, and is happening in the church. So what is happening in the church? The church is under persecution. We know that from the last section, or last week. We saw Peter and John locked up. Why? Because they healed a man, and because they were preaching, not because they were preaching, not because they were just healing someone, but because they were doing it in Jesus' name. That was the problem. And so the church is under persecution. Don't preach and teach in Jesus' name. That's what they were trying to say. And this is not a new thing that's going on. They had just lost their leader, we know. Jesus was crucified. They killed him. This was the persecution really where it starts. And notice that Jesus, he even promises the disciples that they would be persecuted and die as a result of preaching him. So they already knew what was going to happen before it happened. So Peter and John, we learned last week, were thrown in prison because they were preaching and healing in Jesus' name. They knew this was going to happen. When the religious leaders thought they got rid of Jesus and the Jesus freaks by killing the leader, more were popping up. This is an issue. And we left off last week with people rejoicing. Why? Because the religious leaders were at a loss for words because of what Peter and John were doing. They didn't know how to handle this. They were afraid, we see, of the people because many believed and were praising God. How do you fight against that? So we begin in verse 23 by Luke informing us the major problem at hand. The 23 tells us. Notice, the religious leaders didn't want them to do anything in the name of Jesus. That's the problem. Okay, that's the issue. And this is the sole ministry of the church, is the proclamation of Christ. You want to get rid of a church? Get rid of the name of Jesus. You won't have any more problems anymore. Your church will probably grow. You could do a lot more if you get rid of Jesus, right? Or you think you could. So here's a side note. If you are a part of a church that says they are all about Christ, yet their message lacks the presence of what Christ has already done, there might be a problem. Be careful. Remember, the Bible's message is not just what you can do for God. That's not the Bible's message. But what God has already done for us. That's the true message of Scripture. That is the gospel. This was their new found union in Christ that we see. Fear gripped them because if they were to share Jesus, if they were to share Jesus with others, there was a good chance that they would be imprisoned and even possibly they would be put to death because of they were proclaiming Jesus. Not because they were doing good works or because they were, you know, helping people out. But do you feel the tension here in the room? So they were just told, don't say anything about Jesus. What do you do as the church? There's tension here. Some of the people there probably said to themselves, Peter and John, they're so brave. They are disciples of Jesus. How could we do what they did? How can we get out and stand against these men? They're smarter than us. I don't know anyone in their right mind who wants to die. If you want to die, there's probably something wrong, okay? So that's what they're thinking. We don't want to die. So what do they do? That's the question. The very thing Jesus taught his church to do was to ask the good Father. When you're in a rock and a hard place, you don't turn to your own strength and your own ability and your own know-how. Why? Because you don't have what it takes. But God does. He is the one that gives good gifts. This past week, this message was for me. I'm preaching this message because I preached it to myself all this week. And literally, I'm not just saying that to win favor in your sight, but as I'm writing this and thinking of this, I'm thinking of my own heart and what I need. I had to preach it to myself. I made a mistake this week. Excuse me. Carly and I, we had a big decision that cost a lot. It stressed us out. And I failed this week. Why? Instead of bringing it to the Lord, I let the situation stress me out. That's failure because I think I can do it in my own strength. No matter how much we know God's word, sometimes we forget who is in charge. How basic is that? But how we forget it. Instead of believing and turning to a sovereign God, what do? We let our emotions and we let our stress get the best of us. I literally had to lay my head on a pillow and I fell asleep, right? That's us trusting in ourselves. We forget who is sovereign, right? The trials of life, what do, though? They lead us to prayer. Because He is the only one that can help. He is the only one that can provide a solution. He is the one that can give us the strength to overcome these things. But not only this, not only do our situations of life lead us to prayer, but this brings us to our second point. Our prayers are to a sovereign God, we need to remember. They're not just to anything. They don't just go up in the space and dissolve. It's not that they're not heard, but they're to the one that created the universe. Look at what he says in verse 24. How did they start praying in verse 24b? Sovereign Lord, he says, they say, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Wow. That should tell us something right there. He is in control. Luke uses the word, they lifted up their voices. And this word has the understanding that what? They cried out. They didn't just put their heads on the pillow and sleep on it. You know, just say, oh, we just need to get rest and we'll find an answer tomorrow. No, they cried up and they cried out with a loud voice. You think people heard them from outside? Probably so. They looked upward and cried out to God. You know the saying. You all know this. You are what you eat. You know that saying, right? I believe it's true that you are how you pray as well. You are how you pray. It's important to know what we're praying and how we're praying as well. Our prayers tell a lot about what we believe about God. For example, if you heard someone praying this way, Lord, if you just help me this once, I promise, fill in the blank, I promise I follow you. What would you think of this person? We've probably all prayed this prayer, so nobody, I'm not calling anybody out. I haven't heard you pray, so I'm not calling anyone out here. I'm just saying. They probably are very immature Christian. And maybe they're not even Christians. Safe to say. So how about this? Lord, I need a new house, car, a gold watch. Prayer is not just about me and my wants. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is about God, Prayer is us aligning with God, not just about me and my wants. That's the idea. Prayer is about Him. This is why we pray the Lord's Prayer. It's what's in alignment with Him. And what does it say? It says, God, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Not my will be done, and not my kingdom come. Most of it's about Him. It's about Christians in union with their Creator. And we are dependent on Him to give us what we need, and to forgive us our sins, and to keep us from temptation. We need a lot of assistance from God. And prayer helps us to align, to say, we are dependent. So this is the very sin, if I get off on a tangent, this is the very sin that Adam did. He says, I'm not dependent on God, I'm dependent on myself. And the whole world was brought to ruin because of us not aligning with God. So let's look at the text, verses 25b, verses 26, 27, and 28. What do? They point to God's sovereignty. If you look at all those texts, it's like they are reassuring themselves that they have what? Nothing to fear. The religious leaders and the people only did what God allowed them to do, the prayer says. There's nothing that they could do that's outside of God's control. The sovereignty of God. Do you have to fear these religious leaders? And the answer is no. What do they have to fear when this whole plan of Jesus' death predates them? Like, that's what they're pointing to. David said all of this back, you know, 1,000 years ago or whatever. They believe David in Psalms 2. They quote Psalm 2, 1 through 2. It's pointing to God's sovereign plan of redemption in Jesus. That's what this is pointing to. They pray with assurance in God's predetermined plan. They even say that. Their prayer shows that they believe what they believe of God, that He will be with them no matter what. That they would be able to proclaim in the face of opposition. This is their prayer. Help us to do this. Help us to, in the face of opposition, we believe your plan. We trust in you. Help us. Give us boldness to proclaim in the face of opposition. And verse 29 is the result of their obedience in a sovereign God, praying to a sovereign God. Notice what they say. In verse 29, notice what it results in. They ask God to help them to continue to preach the gospel. Out of all of that, they pray that whole thing and it comes to the end. And they say, help us, give us boldness to preach your gospel. This was their sole concern for the church. If you missed everything, this is it. This is their sole concern for the church, that they asked for boldness to continue Jesus' mission and proclaiming His kingdom. They asked God to help them against a people who are threatening their lives. And what was the message of this kingdom? Trust in the Anointed One. That was their message. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. In John Owen's eighth volume work, he observes from the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3 that he says, by faithful prayer sets himself to obtain. So a person by faithful prayer sets himself to obtain a sure footing and a quiet abode in those nation-destroying storms. He also says, lastly, Owen says, he observes from the Proverbs chapter 18:10 and Psalms 1 and 2 that prayer is the believer's constant, sure retreat in an evil time, in a time of trouble, he says. What an assurance that while living in a nation-destroying time, that we have refuge in time of trouble. How so? He says, by prayer. So no matter what happens, no matter who's in charge, no matter what's going on the outside, that if we come to the sovereign Lord in prayer, he hears us. And he's in control, and he is the one that will help us in times of need. It's safe to say that we cannot live the Christian life without prayer. We can't. Prayer is our very life source, if you want to say that. Prayer is not only a strong tower. In times of need, we receive boldness from prayer, Scripture shows us. And this brings us to our last point. Not only does prayer lead us, not only does trials of this earth, not only they should lead us to prayer, and they do lead us to prayer, but also prayer, when we pray, we pray to a sovereign God who's in charge, who controls everything. But not only that, our last point here in verse 31, we receive boldness from a sovereign God. As we focus and align to him, as we trust in him, as we come to him. Notice what happened when they prayed. As they were gathered and they finished praise, the area shook. They were filled with the Spirit. Verse 31 gives a result of the prayers. So I can't imagine praying like these people, okay? And then as a result, my house wavers or sways like a reed driven in the wind. I can't imagine that. Imagine if we stopped praying after Sunday and the whole building shook. That would be a wake-up call, wouldn't it? If that didn't get your attention that God heard you, I don't know what would, okay? We see things that resemble Pentecost happening here, okay? But this is not a second Pentecost. Just throw that out there. They are not receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit again. This is not what's happening. God is what? He is strengthening their faith, what? Through a sign. So why do we see their encouragement? What's the result of this shaking of the house? Is we see an encouragement. We see a boldness coming from this. So we also know that we are still in the foundation building of the church on Jesus. So this was the building up of the church on the name of Christ. And he is giving them a nudge here. He is assuring them that he is with them through this sign. Today, we don't need anything like this. Why? Because we have the sign of this written word. We can look at this and we can see his word and what was written for us, and we can be encouraged by what he did. It gives us confidence that he answers the prayers not only of his, what, apostles, but also those who were not even named. Did you notice that in the text here? Did you notice he didn't name any of these people's names that were gathered in this room praying? This is important to the text. He didn't list off a bunch of names. And this is not important to the author. It's not important. But what is important is that this sovereign God answered the prayers of the saints. That is important. That's the point he's trying to make. Luke wants us to know that it is not just the apostles filled with the Spirit of a living God. These people already believe. This was part of the 5,000 or the 7,000, whatever you want to call it, that already previous believed in Jesus. That was already previous filled with the Spirit. But Luke wants you to know that these common people, just like Peter and John, they too were also filled with the Spirit. They also could pray to God, and guess what? God answered these people's prayers. What an encouragement. It wasn't just the apostles that were filled to do the work of the ministry, but all those that God calls to himself through the gospel call. Right? This is the priesthood of all believers. God is empowering these believers that weren't apostles. I think we miss that point a lot in Scripture. And we're like, oh, the apostles, they went out and did that. But Jesus had disciples. The apostles had disciples that they made, and they went out and preached the gospel too. It wasn't just for the ministers and the elders and the deacons. This was everyone. Today, what an encouragement for us as we look at his word. If you believe in Jesus, if you trust in his finished work, you have everything you need. You have been filled with the Spirit of God. Ask God to give you the boldness to step out as well. And this means looking to his means of grace to help us. As we come here on Sunday and as we participate in the means of grace, as we pray to him, he will aid us and strengthen our faith to do the work of the ministry. Why do we gather here on Sunday? Not to hear a great oratory sermon, not just to sing songs that make us tingle, right? It's none of that. Those are good things. We listen to the words of the strong, I will wait for you. And what great truths that strengthen us, that he is going to be with us. He will provide for us. There are 10,000 reasons why we can praise his name. We can come before the table and participate and be strengthened in our faith, knowing that he, before the foundation of the world, died for you and for me. We can remember what he did and his great sacrifice for us on the cross. This strengthens our faith. We are not being persecuted today. You know, we don't have to hide in secret and go under, you know, the ground in order to do these things. We can do it in open. What a great time. We're totally different than these people. How encouraging to us. We may lose friends for sharing about Jesus. We may. It's okay. We may lose friends for asking them to come to church, or they may think we're crazy. That's okay. The older I get, which some of you think I'm not, you know, I'm still a teenager. I got that this week. Somebody thought I was, I think, an adolescent. Well, anyway, but the older I get, I'm getting older, I promise you, even though it doesn't look that way. And I'm not patting myself on the back here, just to say that. But the more that I get, the older that I get, the more I realize I cannot live without prayer. Could you say amen to that? Amen. When you're young and have a lot of energy, which I don't have a lot of energy. I probably have more than some of you here, but Boone has more than all of us here. I want to assure you of that. You feel like you don't need prayer when you have a lot of energy. Or even on your good days. Oh, I got this, right? But instead, we need to rely on the power of prayer. We don't need to rely on our own power. We Cajuns, what do? We like hard work, don't we? When we see someone working hard, what do? Man, yeah, that's great. It inspires us, doesn't it? And prayer seems weak, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem weak? I mean, you can say yes. It's okay. You don't have to be holy-roly out there, you know? It doesn't produce anything, right? I mean, if you're honest with yourself, you're like, it doesn't produce anything. Don't pray about it. Just do it. Just work. Calvin says in his Institutes, our Heavenly Father declares that our only safety is calling upon His name, since by it we invoke the presence of His providence to watch over our interest, of His power to sustain us when weak and almost fainting, of His goodness to receive us into His favor, and though miserably loaded with sin, and fine, call upon Him to manifest Himself to us and all His perfections. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, let's make the church a praying church again. I'm not just talking about praying in our worship service before meals, but let's pray before church. 9 a.m., I'm always there. Come join me in the office. You're all welcome. Don't feel awkward. Let's pray kingdom prayers. Let's not just use prayer as a way to talk about people to find out the latest news, but pray for boldness to share the gospel. That's kingdom prayers. Pray for leaders of the church. Pray for salvation of our government leaders. Pray that God's kingdom come and His will be done. Let's pray so that when trials arrive, we will do what is natural to us. Let us be in prayer because God is the one that governs all things. Let us be in prayer because it is from God that we receive boldness to proclaim Christ. Remember this as you leave today. When you go to work, when you go to school, as you lie down in your bed, as you rise up in the morning, remember these words: prayer gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. Prayer gives us boldness to proclaim Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before You and we need Your help. Give us boldness to reach people with the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.